previously on Compassion Radio.
How does Jesus minister to his wounded bride? How am I learning something about Christ as I'm doing this? That's when it slows me down and realize, okay, I really don't have anywhere else to be. This is where I need to be because this is where I get an opportunity to see Christ in a different way.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Tracking the triumph of God both home and abroad, and soon to embark on our 75th year of broadcasting the good news of Jesus. This is Compassion Radio. Thanks for tuning in today, friend. Definition of caregiver. It's a noun. A family member or paid helper who regularly looks after a child or a sick, elderly, or disabled person. Now, this topic may seem a bit off the track for what we typically tackle here on Compassion Radio. But as Bram said the other day, the very name of our ministry has compassion written all over it. Today, Bram and Cher continue part two of their conversation with Peter Rosenberger, and it's not to be missed. We start off our conversation today with our guest, Peter, reflecting on some of his life experience.
I know the most meaningful time that somebody ever really did something for me, and a lot of people have helped me over the years, but one of the things that stick out the most for me is I was on the way back to the hospital again. The kids were with grandparents. I'd gone to the home to get some change of clothes and so forth. I was going back up there, and I stopped by. Some friends said, I want you to stop by the house. We got something for you. And it was on the way, so I stopped by, and they said, Gracie is safe at the hospital. The boys are safe with grandparents. You sit down right here. And they brought me a bowl of vegetable soup and cornbread. And they said, I get choked up thinking about it. They said, we'll stand guard. You're safe here. Wow. Nobody had ever done that for me. No one. And I had family that would do it, but they were so scattered about. I was only, you know, I didn't have any family really here in Nashville where I was. And I felt so alone. And somebody loved and cared enough for me to stand guard over me and let me just have a bowl of soup quietly. I didn't have to have lobster and steak and everything else. We caregivers don't really need exotic entertainment. We just want a peace and quiet.
This may seem like a bit of a stretch, Peter, but this reminds me of a scene I had in my mind when I was a kid watching our collie stand over her puppies so they could eat.
Yeah, that's, you know, and the yoke of Christ, Jesus said, take on my yoke, it's easy. Well, it is easy if you go at Jesus' pace, but it's when you try to pull Jesus along, say, come on, Jesus, come on, we got to hurry up, Jesus. That's when it starts chafing because he only has one speed and that's his speed. And it's whatever he wants it to be, and we can fight it. I've yet to win one of those battles. And sometimes that speed becomes glaringly apparent when dealing with someone who suffers. And if you come in there and just start, you got to be doing this, you need to be doing this, and just come in and start raising a lot of dust up in the air, I don't see that that's really moving at the speed of Christ. He's slow and gentle and tender in these places. He's very tender in these things. And we can be that as well. Now, there's a time for swift action when there's a medical drama and all that kind of stuff. I get that. But I'm just talking about the needs of the heart of the caregiver. The heart of a caregiver is a wounded, wounded, wounded heart. We are carrying troubling thoughts inside our hearts at all times. And we are afraid of the thoughts and the things that we're feeling and thinking in our hearts. And we're ashamed of them. We feel guilty about them. We feel beaten down and we'll berate ourselves with these things. I wouldn't hang around somebody who treats me the way I treat myself. But that's the nature of what we do as caregivers. We should be doing more. We should be doing more. And I'm on a mission to help caregivers understand it's okay to just be still. Be still and know that I'm God. How many times in scriptures does God say you should be doing more versus be still? Be still. Be still. You know, and Pascal said, you know, many of life's problems, I'm paraphrasing, I'm not saying it right, but are derived from man's inability to sit still in a quiet room. And a long time ago, I kind of made up a phrase, if you don't take time for stillness, you're going to make time for illness. Mm. We will make ourselves sick stressing over this thing, and stress will beat a body down. It will tear us apart. And if you're a non-believer, the best you can hope for in this life is to have happy moments. But as believers, we understand that we have joy no matter what. That is inexpressible joy. And
if we're willing to take it.
That's the thing. If we can continue to refocus on the privilege of caring instead of the burden of caring. And it takes a constant readjustment.
It's like being on autopilot on a plane. It's not on course 90% of the time. The winds are buffeting it around. But the autopilot's constantly making adjustments to get back on course.
Yep.
And now we have a heading. As believers, we have a heading. And now I want to help believers drill that down even more as ministering to caregivers. We have a heading. And the heading is not to go in there and fix it. The heading is to go in there and be calm in it. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Mother Teresa used to say, and I'm paraphrasing this too, but thank you, Lord Jesus, for the privilege of serving you in your many horrible disguises. You know, and but in the process, you find that your hands become the hands of Christ in this moment. You know, my wife doesn't have any feet. My feet are the only feet she can depend on. I need to be a good steward of them. And that's kind of the overarching thing is stewardship of me. How do I be the best steward of me in this? And it's not just, money. It's not just physical health. It's all of it. It's spiritual, emotional, and every these things. And I got so far to go. I got to go back and read my own book again.
I do want to bring attention to those very books by the time we wrap up the program here. I want to go back to what you said about Jesus being still and following his example. I think about him sitting in the dirt waiting for the accusers of the woman caught in adultery to, peel themselves away and set down their stones and walk off. And the way the narrative reads, it took some time. Jesus just sat there doodling. And he sat there and has to finally look up at her and says, "Where are your accusers?" Time has elapsed here. He sat still with her in her shame for that period, however long it took to redeem her.
However long it took. Never doubt the power of inactivity. We don't have to rush in there and fix it. We can just let it be what it's going to be and just breathe.
Sometimes you have to rush
if it's
in
a medical emergency, yes, you got to do that. But as far as a chronic situation that is not going to get better, you can't fix Alzheimer's. You cannot fix cerebral palsy. You can't fix autism. You can treat certain things. You can make them more comfortable. You can make improvements. But you're not going to fix it. That's not our job, though. I look down at my hands every day, and I still have yet to see nail prints. I mean, this ain't mine to fix. And one day when we get to heaven, he's going to make it all apparent to what's going on. And with the first X amount of time, we'll all be spent slapping our foreheads saying, "Oh, that's what you were doing," But right now we see through a glass darkly. We just can't see it. And we don't have to. And I'm not comfortable with believers who want to come up and tell me, "We know why this is happening. We know why this is happening." I'm not comfortable with that.
I'm not either.
I'm learning to be comfortable with ambiguity. And I go back to what I am comfortable with and what I do know. And this is what Paul says, that for this we know. And we go back to that. And so if your baseball team is in trouble, for example, they don't come up with a trick play. They go back to the fundamentals. So it always comes back to the fundamentals, which is the cross, which is Christ crucified, Christ buried, Christ dead, Christ rose again. And that's our fundamentals of our faith.
And to back the issue of ambiguity, there's nothing ambiguous about the love of Christ.
No.
We know what it means when we actually pay attention to it. But life brings all kinds of things that are paradoxes to us, things that we don't know what the solution is going to work out to be. It remains fuzzy. The world stays in soft focus, and it certainly is in soft focus when your eyes are full of tears. So we have rock-solid Jesus. We have mushy or painful or prickly life that we've got to navigate through, but we've got him. And the whole point you're appealing to, Peter, is that for believers, we've got Jesus in the middle of this. So the people we're talking to today are either caregivers themselves, are going to be someday, or they know someone who is right now.
Or they're going to need one.
Four groups right there, right?
You're going to know somebody if you're not. And are they able to make it to your church? Do they feel comfortable bringing their loved one to church? Do they feel comfortable with the message that's being sent from the pulpit? Is it one of just happy, happy, happy all the time, time, time? Are we preaching the gospel into these train wrecks with authority and compassion and focus and clarity? And that's a very good question, because if you've got pastors up there that are just preaching this basically a motivational message, man, I'm telling you what, motivational messages, I like them much as anybody else, but they don't do much when you watch somebody go into a seizure. They don't do much when you watch somebody have to give up their legs.
So to our pastor friends out there, this message right now is an appeal to compassion in the way you even approach the gospel. So I would encourage you, pastors, to think about that, about the effect, how it would ring on ears of someone who is dealing with, on a regular basis, the kind of suffering that Christ says, I want to enter into.
My pastors once asked me, he said, are we serving you well? Which I thought was a very humble question for them to ask. And I said, I am in the congregation and I am listening to your sermons. If those sermons aren't piercing into my level of suffering and heartache and frustration, then why would you preach it? If you're not extending that incredible hope of the gospel into the deepest places of suffering that I live in and that Gracie lives in, then why are you preaching it? And they most certainly do extend it. They are incredibly focused and clear and do that, and I'm very grateful for that. And I think that's so important. And a lot of pastors, unfortunately, don't. They feel like they got to come up with answers to everything. I don't feel the need to come up with answers to everything.
I want to come up with Jesus.
I just rest in the fact that He's got it, and He's going to give me strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria and Cher Nelson and very special guest Peter Rosenberger. And keep in mind, if you want to catch this program again or share it with a friend, head on over to CompassionRadio.com and click to listen to the podcast. It's just as easy as that. And while you're there, please consider a special gift as we continue in our anniversary month here at Compassion Radio. We're going to hit number 74 in just a few weeks. Let's get back now to the program.
Peter, let's make mention now of the books you've written recently that have had such an impact on the caregivers that you've gotten to know, and a little bit about your program, which is emerging as a real strength of weekend broadcasting in the cities where you're now broadcast.
Hope for the Caregivers, the book, and it's available wherever books are sold. And Hope for the Caregivers, the radio show, hopeforthecaregiver.com. My new book will be out November of 2018. It's called Seven Caregiver Landmines and How You Can Avoid Them. And it's just helping navigate a path through these treacherous places. And those landmines get reset every night, and they move around.
But if
you know what they are, you can get back on track with as minimal amount of carnage as possible. And then also know where to call and get some help.
Peter, I've asked you to pray before the program. We have Cher with us today, and we so rarely get her on the air to do this part of the program. I want to make sure that our listeners enjoy the comfort that comes from Cher's gift of prayer. So would you mind closing us and praying over the people that are hearing us on the radio today, praying for Peter and his ministry, and for, I'm praying along with you, of course, because my heart's with gratitude for all those who have cared for us from near and far through the time we lost Norm, and for, I'm just grateful that we have friends out there and that our listeners treat us like friends.
Absolutely. Lord Jesus, humbly we come to you to say we do not understand why you treat us so well, why you love us so much, why you have provided such resources for us in your word that we can cling to, that we can believe in, that we can rest on. Lord, we've all had experiences of caring for someone. Some of us maybe just for our children when they've been terribly sick, and we've worried and prayed over them and pleaded with you for your healing, for your touch, just to bring a fever down or to bring them through an injury. And others of us, Lord, have gone through much more lengthy things where we have needed your power in such great amounts. But Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the privilege of caring for each other. What an honor it is, Lord, to bring comfort and peace and help and a little bit of joy and anything to someone who's suffering. Thank you that we have the opportunity to do that. And thank you for going before us in that and showing us how. Lord, you cared for so many people in such gentle and merciful ways. Thank you for showing us the way. Lord, right now I pray for all those that are listening today whose hearts are burdened for someone, whose lives are spent caring for someone. Lord, you know the loneliness in it. You know the weariness in it. You know the heartbreak in it. Lord, I just ask for your special touch for each one of those listening today who have that responsibility, who know of someone who has that responsibility and are willing to be a prayer partner with them. And for all of us, Lord, that are going to need someone like that someday, let us prepare our hearts to be as loving and kind and appreciative of the care that must be given to us. Lord, I just ask your covering on Peter. Lord, we've known Gracie even longer than he has, and we know what she went through before she found Peter, and we are so grateful for your gift to her. We know that you made Peter special. He's unusual, but Lord, you're using him in amazing ways to touch not only Gracie, but hundreds and thousands of people who are doing the same work. Lord, bless him as you open up new opportunities for him. Multiply his stations that are taking on the broadcast. Bring the right people to hear his program, to be encouraged, to be ministered to. Lord, continue to give him grace, continue to give him patience, continue to give him joy in the serving. We just ask that you bless every facet that you take him into. And Lord, we know that you're faithful. We know that you're good. No matter what our circumstances, you are still there for us. We trust you, we honor you, we praise you for who you are and what you are. And we give our burdens to you. We give our hopeless thoughts to you. We give our anguish to you. And know that not only will you take it, but you will work it for our good and your glory. We praise you, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Amen. Peter, we haven't even had a chance to talk about the manifest ways that compassion has flowed out of you and Gracie over the years into other ministries to take care of other people directly. Even the prosthetics ministry in West Africa, all kinds of things that you've been well heralded by people in high authority. In fact, you invited to Washington just last month for the State of the Union address because of the work that God's laid in front of you.
Well, you minister out of your wounds, and I don't know any valid ministry that doesn't have deep wounds somewhere in the journey. And as wounded as you all are in the loss of Norm, I also am eager to see the depth of what God will pull out of this with you guys and take it into a deeper place, because you all clung to God so tightly. And when you cling to God tightly, strange things start happening, you know, and more of him comes through. And, you know, the prosthetic limb ministry was Gracie's idea after she gave up her legs. But what do we have that we have not received? And who are we to withhold something when it's within our power to do it? C.S. Lewis was echoing Paul, and he said, if Jesus is who he says he is, then there's nothing more important than what we're doing. If he's not who he says he is, then we're pitiful people. And I stand with Paul and C.S. Lewis on that he's exactly who he says he is, and so much more. And so that's a game changer. And it frees us up then when we start recognizing, and I think that if I leave one last thought for caregivers, it's that when you look to someone else to affirm you or love you or care for you that is unable to do so anymore or unable to do so very well, you're always going to come up short because they can't. No, nobody, even the most healthy individual, can't do that perfectly. So when we start relying on the inexhaustible love of God versus the demands that we have of other people to meet that need, things change in us. And, you know, the inexhaustible love of God is what it is. It does not change. It does not end. It does not dissipate. And but it's hard to remember that sometimes. This is what I'm on a mission for myself to do, is to constantly remind myself of how deeply God loves me. And then that frees me up to go and put legs on folks or do radio shows for caregivers. And more importantly, in all those things, take care of a wounded bride, because he took care of his wounded bride.
I know at the very beginning, God brought the two of you together through music, through worship, and the two of you have expressed yourselves beautifully over the years. And I almost resent that the caregiving part has stolen away so much of the music that might have been. And then something comes out of you musically, you and your wife performing together again after many years of being away from it, that was beautiful beyond measure. Because it comes from the measure of suffering you've been experiencing over the years. You express yourselves beautifully, and God gave you that rich worship skill. And I want to make sure that our listeners have a chance to learn more about you. I'll make sure there are links in, on the podcast page on the website
when,
about what you do.
When words fail, music speaks.
Yes, it does.
And Hans Christian Andersen said that, and I am grateful for that language of music, and I know that's important to you all, that is able to transcend some of these things and help us work out the kinks in our soul. And when Gracie sings, you know, she sings from such a deep place. And somebody asked me when I play, I'm kind of the Cracker Barrel of piano players. I play comfort music. I mean, I play like your mother hums, you know, and I'm okay with it. That's what I do. I play like somebody who's watched a woman suffer for 30 something years, and it changes your theology. It changes your music. I don't have this. I mean, I know how Jerry Lee Lewis plays the piano, but why would I do that? It makes no sense for me to pursue that type of playing. And so it's a pleasure to be able just to play and comfort people with music and comfort ourselves.
And you are a comfort, and you are to millions now. So thank you for sharing your time, Peter, with us.
Absolutely.
And from Peter and Gracie Rosenberger, pray for them, folks, as you hear this program today. God put them in a special place of ministry and suffering. It's a gift to them, and I hate to say that glibly, because it's not a glib thing at all, but suffering has been your gift, and you've treated it like a gift, which is a miracle in itself. And therefore, God has multiplied that fruit in amazing ways. Thank you for joining us on Compassion Radio.
And that concludes a unique and powerful two-part broadcast. Keep in mind, you can listen to this program again right there online at CompassionRadio.com via our easy-to-access podcast. Right there online, CompassionRadio.com, and share it with someone you love. Friends, here at Compassion Radio, we certainly do thank the Lord for you, especially those who support this ministry have again proven themselves faithful. It's a wonderful thing, for it's not only an act of faith in supporting this ministry, but we here live by faith. Here's one last important word from Bram Floria.
Hi, friends. I'm in Cairo, Egypt, as I record this. Why Egypt? Well, like we often do, we travel as guests of our partner ministries so we can bring you the most current and powerful stories of God's hand at work. I covet your prayers as I spend the next few weeks traveling through the Middle East and North Africa. As with anything important and worth doing, there's always some spiritual kickback. And as I'm recording this, the devil's really hitting us in the pocketbook. Right now, listener support for this unique radio ministry is at an all-time low. Frankly, if we're to continue, we need to see a serious rebound in giving, and we need to see it soon. Now, what will your gift do? Well, far more than just keeping us on the air. Our partners have enabled us to provide hundreds of thousands of Bibles to new believers in China and other booming Christian nations. Together, we provided relief and desperately needed supplies to refugees from dozens of world conflicts and natural disasters. And coming up this year, we'll award the very first Norm Nelson Religious Freedom, Faith, and Dignity Award to honor and empower the work of courageous believers around the world. And your gifts make it possible for us to go find all the stories and transformational interviews you hear every day on this station. Friends, we need your support. And we need it now. Can I count on you to contact us today to let us know that you're standing with us? Here's how.
For your gift this month, we'd love to send you the first part of a new companion study to an upcoming series on the book of Ecclesiastes. It's available in PDF format by email or printed and mailed. The full study will be available this spring. Ask for your Section 1 today by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. By mail, contact us at Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And, of course, you can find us online safe and secure at CompassionRadio.com. I'm Jim Governale. On behalf of Bram, Cher, and the entire Compassion Radio team, have a wonderful day in the Lord. And we'll see you again next time with more Compassion Radio.